key, but I'm ready.
Oh, shit! Shit, CJ, we gotta get to that farmhouse over there, man. Do you see it off in the distance? Hurry, hurry, hurry! Fuck the car, man. Just leave her in there.
I'm glad we left her out there.
I can't, like, alright, so why is it we do this every year? We come up here and show remembrance to our audience, and I bet you, like, Kiani doesn't remember what the fuck they look like. She just puts us off on us every year.
I didn't even know we had an audience, but I'm glad we left her out there.
Hello, fellas.
Oh, Kiani, you're in the house! Hello! This is awkward.
Just a little bit. I didn't check the back door.
Ah, we should probably lock that and also board up the window.
I already boarded up the door, so.
Yeah. Real quick, there's this little girl coming out of the basement, but she has a shovel, so I guess she's gonna garden or something. So
kick her in the face.
yeah, kick her in the face real quick and close that door. We'll get back to
it. No fucking problem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very special episode of Robots Don't Age. The first episode in a series that's going to be referred to as Podcasts of the Dead. This first episode is Night of the Living Podcasters. And if you couldn't figure it out yet, it's all three of us back again.
Yes.
And if you're worried about the dead component, don't worry. I'm dead inside, so we got that covered.
Yeah, yeah. And as they say, every episode is someone's first episode. So, without further ado, I am the beautifully bearded co-host Cody, and with me today is the kinky co-host Kiani.
Hello.
And the Dong Master CJ.
What up, though?
A complete joke name that he gave himself and we rolled with, because that's how we do it.
Sure.
Now, for this series, we're going to do a deep dive into the George Romero-verse of the Walking Dead, fuck me.
Oh, you Living son Dead. Of a bitch.
I don't edit any of this, so I'm going to take that ire.
That's
yes.
Staying in, you son of a bitch.
I know it is, because I'm doing the editing, which is very minimal.
That's staying in, or I
so,
will
we
no
are
longer
doing
be known as the Dong Master.
Huh. Okay, fine. What do you want
to
be known as?
Think of me a new one. Junior.
Don't worry about it. We'll
George Romero Jr.
We'll come back around. Don't worry about it.
No, I still want to be George Romero Jr.
We'll circle around, CJ. Don't worry. So,
Dong Savini. Sorry.
Maybe I could do Savini.
Dong
Savini would work.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we're going to be covering the Romero zombie films in order of, I believe, timeline.
Mm.
And of course, that starts us out with the masterpiece that is Night of the Living Dead. For clarification on those who are wondering, Kiani has virtually no knowledge of George Romero and his work.
Yep.
I have a fair amount of knowledge, and CJ is the godfather of this stuff.
Yes, as far as this podcast crew is concerned, I'm not comparing myself to anyone out there on the internet, though.
CJ has often claimed that he is the actual godfather of the dead and that he would have surpassed George Romero if he would have arrived earlier.
Yeah, sure. Yes, absolutely. I've never said that, but okay.
You've made that claim so many times, CJ, I'm actually tired of hearing it. Just admit it. You fucking coward!
Best quit playing, bye.
All right. Anyhow.
CJ,
Kiani.
I missed you.
There is a dynamic that he adds to this.
Just stupidity? Lower.
Yeah, yeah. We need the wild card. You're the Charlie Day of this podcast.
Love it.
Oh, God. I'm actually very flattered by that.
Well, he is the best character on the show, in my opinion.
I'm a Danny DeVito-looking Charlie Day, motherfucker.
Mm. Kiani, since this is your first time viewing this, do you have any initial takeaways you'd like to share with us?
Something that frustrates me, and I feel like this happens in a lot of scary movies, scary-esque movies, especially, like, the older ones. The incapable, frozen with fear ass woman trope irritates my fucking soul. It irritates my soul.
I knew that was going to come up, but I would just like to say that, you know, it was like the 60s.
I know, but it's still fucking obnoxious. Like, I had to put that into play, but, like, also still annoying. Because I have never, and I repeat, never been in a high stress situation where it wasn't women that were like, okay, we need to do this, 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 and this. Like, that handled the fucking situation.
Men handle it like a giant dick measuring contest, so
yes.
Much better.
Yes!
Mm.
Giant dick measuring contest. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Sorry, CJ, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just going to add, this is a little bit into reaching into the next Romero episode, but that you get ready for that one more time.
Yay! granted.
That's unfortunate. I will say this, though. The that's always been a component a lot of people harped on, because otherwise most of the themes in the movie are pretty, like, for the time, especially, like, mm-hmm. in the 60s, yeah. to have subjects such as racism and classism.
Uh-huh.
That's almost, like, pretty rare, because this is right at the turning point in Hollywood where it goes from the traditional Bob Hope type, you know, good old American family type of stuff to you have your Easy Riders and mm-hmm. Night of the Living Dead. And this is big transition between the 60s and the 70s, too.
Well, and, I would like to point out real quick, CJ, on the matter of race. They cast Juan as Ben because he was just the best actor they found. I mean, it kind of worked out later that it was about racism, but even George Romero was like, fuck it, he was just the best one. And it turns out later, like, it just worked out that way, which made sense.
Well,
He was very good. And I was also very shocked mm-hmm. that, because mostly, I feel like in a lot of movies, like, black person's the first person to die. And that's not what happened here.
And, no, if anything, he makes the most sense out of any of his decisions.
Yes, yes, abso-fucking-lutely.
The whole time, too, I'm like, man, Ben, you are trying to save everyone. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, no.
He was an example of, you know, that classic storybook example of, like, human virtue and you know, braveness in the face of adversity, obviously, especially with his argument with the that rich cocksucker.
Mr. Cooper?
Yeah,
that piece of shit.
He's no Captain Rhodes there. I time traveled there. He's no Captain Rhodes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, shit, Mr. Cooper, I got a million issues with him.
He's a fucking idiot. He's a fucking idiot, bro.
Yes.
I heard this originally on a podcast some very many years ago, but there was a point where, like, he was kind of right if they stayed in the cellar, minus his zombie daughter, but, you know, who would have known? This was the start of the zombie stuff. It's not like today mm-hmm. when you watch a zombie movie. It's like, mm-hmm. how do they not know if you're bit by a zombie, blah, blah, blah. This was the beginning.
Yeah, no, in their eyes, like, they see a girl moaning with blood, they're like, oh, she's injured. They're not instantly just going to think, zombie and kick her. This is the movie that started that.
Yeah, like at the start of the episode, if it wasn't a zombie child, I still would have kicked her down the stairs, because if this is a break-and-enter situation, she can't see our faces.
Yeah, no. Oh,
yeah, I gotta punt her down those fucking basement steps.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
If she's a zombie, then it's just a plus, really.
I also, like, and I feel like this was also part of, like, the women being frozen in fear, but there was a lot of, I'm gonna stand here for, mm-hmm. lay here for 6.5 minutes while these things grab me. Like, what? What? Like, while it shambles towards me, I'm going to lay here and scream for 3 minutes. What?
Or like when Mr. Cooper was describing their situation with the party, and he's like, yeah, we have three men, two women, one another woman who's catatonic, and a child. It's like, okay, just kind of the two women that are fine. You're like, nah, fuck them. Like, they're just still women.
They're women.
Yeah, that's...
Sir, your wife would have handled all of that better than you.
Absolutely. Like, the whole time she was calm.
Yeah, the whole time she's basically like, sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up.
I do love how, like, she kept poking him and prodding him when uh-huh. he came back down to the basement. Like, oh, you're right. Again, because that's the most important thing for you. Before I forget, Ben is married. He has a ring on his finger.
Oh, I didn't even peep that.
I pointed this out to you, CJ, on Discord when I was watching mm-hmm. it. Because, like, this is the first time that I sat down analytically and, like, wanted to pay attention to every single beat. And I paused at one point to get him, like, wait, that's a wedding ring. Like, obviously something an actor just had, but in the grand scheme of the movie, this could mean that he was married and then just lost his wife. And that's why he's, like, the hardened guy. It's like, no, they're dead. You have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really cool snipe by you. So that actually did make me go back and look for that. So I wonder if, like, if that's an intentional move by Romero, or if that's just like the actor himself had the ring on and they were like, yeah, fuck it.
Sure, why not? Well, like in the X-Files episode where Fox Mulder, the actor, David Duchovny, was wearing a ring. And so the showrunners afterwards had to be like, well, fuck, now we have to write in, like, this entire backstory of how he was divorced. So I assume, like, this could be the case in this situation, although Romero probably didn't care as much. He was mostly like, oh, fuck it, I guess, yeah, Ben was married, why not?
Yeah, no, I'd like to add just real quick, and then I'll obviously give it back to Keanu, because this is her time to speak. I don't know why we're talking over her. God damn it!
We're mansplaining
fucking men.
We just flowed into the fucking conversation. It's totally fine.
No, I'm joking. No, I'm not.
We're floating.
Woman, shut your mouth. Anyway.
Keanu, don't you know woman. We have two men and one woman in this podcast?
Woman, go back.
Don't you know your place? Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Let me get back on to what I was saying real quick. I did want to add, and this also, you know, goes for the casting for Ben. When you're making a film, obviously it's a very visual art form. That a lot of the actor, even their presence, whether they do good or bad as well, their performance becomes part of the art itself.
Yeah.
So, that's the kind of the beauty of a collaborative effort too, is you don't really get to control that if you cast from the right place. Mm-hmm. If they're right for the role, they're right for the role.
Yeah.
And this can extend to many things, but I just wanted to interject that real quick, because for the wedding ring and for Ben himself.
Yeah, he apparently
or not, don't matter. It happened.
Oh, of course, I was doing some research before. Sorry, Keanu.
No, go ahead, guys.
I was doing some research before this, and there were apparently the actor of Ben was supposed to be kind of like an uneducated truck driver type. But Duan got the script, and he was like, mm-hmm. No. He did some work on the dialogue. He wanted to appear more intelligent. Like, he put a lot of work into the character, so much so that they actually had a happier ending in mind where he maybe could have lived. But he was like, no, it's, you know what, I was going to get into this after the break, but I actually have a quote that he says about the ending here when they talked about changing it. they originally had a much lighter ending, but as the actor Duan put it, I convinced George that the black community would rather see me dead than saved. After all that had gone on, in a corny and symbolically confusing way. Besides, the heroes never die in American movies. The jolt of that and the double jolt of the hero figure being black seemed like a double-barreled whammy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with that.
Yep.
Very much so. I was very upset. Like, I was genuinely upset that he died. I said he made it through all that shit just to get popped in the fucking head because they thought it was a zombie.
He dealt with the whitest of white people the entire
movie. The entire fucking movie.
I was so thrilled when he was beating the shit out of Mr. Cooper, man. I was
psyched. Yo, when he beat his ass, I was also happy that he punched that bitch in the face. Mm-hmm. Not
I
Cooper,
so
but
hard.
That lady. I was, bro, because I was like, she's working my motherfucking nerves. And then she slapped the shit out of him and he said, boop. Bibbidi bobbidi boop, bitch, go to sleep on the couch.
Yeah, CJ and I were talking about this. Barbara is fucking worthless for the entire
film. God, I was genuinely shocked that she made it to the farmhouse at all. At all.
Well, yeah, the way they play the character is like, she shouldn't have. You would have thought Johnny, which, by the way, their relationship on screen, awesome. It felt very authentic.
It felt very brother-sister. Absolutely.
But yeah, like, she went into shock, and then, like, for most of the movie, didn't do anything until close to the end.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I guess, like, I don't know, I don't... So their relationship, like you mentioned, it reminds me more of, like, brother-sister as kids. I'm a little playful with my sister still, but not like that. I don't...
Yeah.
My sister's scared of clowns. Scared. I don't still try to scare her clown stuff.
I'm the youngest sibling, and I would also have to like my sister.
But I don't know their... Too. I don't right off know their ages off the top of my head in that film. I think they're supposed to be mid-20s. Yeah, it's just hard because back then everyone looked way older.
But you're telling me that, like, if you're in a place where you used to scare your siblings, you may not, like, imitate it a little bit. And then if you see that it still affects them, like, egg it on a little bit more.
Modernly, maybe, but he dedicated to it at least, so.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I would go for it.
I did buy the brother and sister of it, but there wasn't much time spent on Brad, you know?
You mean Johnny?
Johnny. God damn it, my mind is Rocky Horror Picture Show again.
I'm like, who's Brad in this movie? I'm like, oh, no,
well, here's why, if you're wondering why I made that confusion. Look at him and then compare the actor for Brad for the Rocky Horror Picture
Show.
They
do look alike.
And that's why.
They absolutely do.
God damn it. Janet. All right, sorry.
God damn it, Janet.
That moment when, kind of later in the film, Johnny was, like, taking Barbara out and it shows, like, Ben... I thought Ben was going to, like, just grab for the jacket that was on Johnny's back and, like, try to pull that off for the keys.
Right? That's what I thought, too. Because she's like, oh, Johnny, help me. Bitch, what? What?
Oh, you have been worthless this entire film, and now you gotta put the impotence on Ben.
I would have shoved her ass out there for bait and took that fucking jacket.
Oh, man. It is tragic how everybody fucking dies. And also
and how fucking stupid everyone was. Like, the fucking girlfriend to the guy, I can't even remember. Joy was her name, maybe? I don't remember.
Yeah, sure.
When she, like, darted out because she wanted, she's like, I'm going with him! Like, bitch!
Oh, God. And then she's, like, froze up.
Yeah.
Ben had to save her again.
Yeah, like, Heifer. You're causing unnecessary fucking problems. And the fact that, like, they had the torch by the fucking guy, I'm like, oh my God, you guys.
I know.
Oh my God. Why are you even right there with the fucking torch? The torch is to keep away the fucking zombies. You should be, like, on the side guarding, like, watching out. No, instead of you're watching him with the, following him with the fucking flame next to the gasoline. Like, it's stupid.
Because plot, Keanu.
I know. It's just every time I watch these things, I'm like, I just don't know that this is how this would go.
And then it's like, they try to put out the tire by, like, driving quickly. I'm like, you could just leave the truck.
Yeah.
Or move it a little bit further away and then run. And that way, when it blows up, it will scare the zombies away from you, at least. Like, right? Instead, you're going to gun it until the last minute, you fucking idiots.
They literally could have. And, like, watching them, like, board up the house and some of the ways that they put the boards on there, I'm like, that is literally doing nothing. You wasted a whole board putting it up there like that.
Keanu low-key agreeing with Mr. Cooper over here.
That board scene was iconic, okay?
Like, I mean, he did spend quite a bit of time. He put in some work. I'm not, you know, not across the board, but there are some windows that I looked at and I was like, bro, you literally made a triangle. Like, what? What is that? He's like, everything down here is boarded up. Window immediately behind him has zero boards on it.
I mean, look, he did better than, I don't know, Barbara would have done.
There. Oh, yeah. Totally fair.
Johnny would have made shit immediately. I mean, he did. Johnny literally died from a zombie, but not by being bitten, because it brained him with a fucking tombstone.
Yeah. Completely like a real asshole. Shit luck. He was at the wrong place, standing in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Ugh. What a real dickhead, dying that way from a zombie.
That's what you get for teasing your sister like a 12-year-old, you cock.
Yeah.
You with your grown-up glasses looking almost 30.
I still do it, and I am almost 30.
Do people still call each other cocks like it's 2006? You cock.
Why not?
I'm not a fan of the word cock. I don't like it.
You know what I've been doing lately? I've been referring to people as cheese dicks.
Oh.
Hey, cheese dick. This guy's such a cheese dick.
I feel like I still call people chode.
You chode?
Yeah.
Well, I could respect the good chode, yeah.
Notice like,
you're
I like
fucking
chode.
Dude, nothing makes my day better than a properly placed chode.
Why did I think you were about to say nothing makes my dick harder?
I mean, it's
a properly placed chode.
Keanu, it's a pod. That's the bit.
That would be filthy.
We would never say things like that on this podcast. Never. That would never happen.
Poop noodle.
It has begun.
We're back with the poop noodle, baby.
You just referenced Shang Tsung, didn't you? It has begun. I was just talking to Mary about that, and apparently, like, if you don't know, there's a meme about that opening part of Mortal Kombat. Just very briefly, and then I'm back out of this ADHD moment. But at the beginning, Shang Tsung in Liu Kang's dream kills his brother, and he points into the camera and says, "Your brother's soul is mine."
Yep.
It sounds like brother's
your brother's whole.
Yeah. And then he's like, "You will be next." And then Liu Kang wakes up. So that changes the plot of Mortal Kombat for you.
Liu Kang wakes up fully erect.
Ooh, I liked that.
Ooh, I have a lot of things I need to talk to my monk therapist about, but ooh.
Yeah, see a Shaolin monk. Another Mortal Kombat joke. Anyway.
God. By the way, completely unrelated, but we're getting Mortal Kombat 12 this year.
Woot.
All right. Anyways, sorry. Tangent over. Back to Night of the Living Dead.
Cooper's a fucking punk bitch.
After he gets his ass, he's like, I just need to get that gun.
Dude, every time somebody.
His wife's like, will you sit the fuck down?
Yes. Every time somebody speaks around him, he has to say, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. And me as the audience member is like, no, it's what they said, dude. Calm down.
Fucking nearly 60 years later, and that's just what happens on Facebook with white people.
Oh, I mean, it just happens, I was about to say, around any white person,
Mm-hmm. It hasn't changed.
I mean, look at this podcast. I talk over both of you constantly.
Any given Waffle House, Robot Stone Age podcast episode, you'll find that.
Yeah, I keep talking because I'm clearly more entertaining. My voice sounds smooth and sexy.
Yeah.
We all know it.
I
ain't gonna dispute that.
Loved that he treated the fuck out of Cooper for not coming up and help. He said, so you heard all that and you just stayed down there? Like, basically, you weak-ass motherfucker.
Well, we heard a woman screaming, you see? It's like, oh, I thought you couldn't hear anything. Well, we thought she was already gonna be dead.
And, you know, at first, like, once I found out he had, like, a wife and a kid down there, I was like, okay, maybe. Like, if I had a partner and a child to protect, I'd probably be like, fuck that bitch. But at the same time, like, once I found, like, learned his personality a little bit more, like, through it, I was like, no, it wasn't because of your wife and kid. You use those as an excuse. It's because you're a punk bitch.
It's like, oh, you're a little shitheel coward. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's like, and I've there's been a few comedians that's made this joke before, but it's like, it's if you don't know how to fight, be the loudest person in the room. Make him think you can fight.
It's always
that's sort of his vibe at a lot of things. If you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, just yell about something and people will take your word for it. No, that's not how this works.
Again,
it's the dog with the loudest bark that runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, God, yeah. Reminds me of... Anyways, I'm not going to get into work jokes right now. We're not here for that. anyways, after this brief commercial break, we will come back talking about more Night of the Living Dead.
Boom, 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 boom.
And 9/11.
What? Maybe.
Why? Excuse me.
Why not?
Look, it happened.
We were talking about getting hard, and my mind just went 9
I have not paused yet, guys. This is all going to be in there. I will pause it in just like 3 seconds.
It is what it is.
Caught that burp, too.
And we are back from a historically long paused break. You missed all of the gold there, but we are back talking about Night of the Living Dead.
That's right. We don't even give you the bronze here, just like the aluminium.
Well, we give them the silver.
Aluminium.
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 I tried to Alabamify that as much as I could. That aluminium.
Aluminium. Aluminum.
You get all right, I got a
Kentucky
couple
is
notes.
Just aluminum. Run me that aluminum foil.
Got that aluminum, take it down to the scrapyard.
All right, so I got a couple more notes here from some of the behind-the-scenes and production stuff. You guys want to hear it?
All right, go.
Absolutely, shoot.
So, he started filming before he had his full budget, which would later total out to be $114,000, and that is about $100,000 in today's, you know, bucks. He would show scenes at a time to potential investors to help get interest, and that's how he would, like, gradually get the money together. A lot of this also kind of lines up with, like, the Evil Dead original aesthetic of how they raised money and how they lived during production, if anyone happens to catch the similarities. The gore they used, since it was in black and white, was all chocolate syrup for the blood and chunks of roasted ham that was donated from a local butcher, and that sounds delightful.
Wait, you said it was in black and white?
The movie, yeah.
The one I watched was in color.
Keanu, I said 68.
You watched... Oh, okay.
That's what
you
it
might
said.
Have watched the colorized version, I guess.
Watched the free version on Prime.
I told you it was on HBO Max. You don't have HBO Max?
I do. I have my father's HBO Max.
Okay, well, either way, this leads into... I'm going to skip ahead to point 5 here that I had. They forgot to copyright the movie after a name change, which was originally called Night of the Living Flesh Eaters, and it was changed to Living Dead at the last minute. But the distribution company forgot to change the movie, and it entered public domain.
Oh no.
Which is why it's technically available for free everywhere, because the original print of Night of the Living Dead is free.
Well,
how such a small thing can fuck you.
I wanted to add to that statement of it going into the public domain. I think we've got a couple of, like, copyright claims on our use of it in our little knock-knock horror short.
I believe so. Maybe it was the particular version we were using, or maybe it was just YouTube being over the top. But I know it's public domain. It has been since, like, it came out.
Yeah, that came from a HD copy. So, like, it came from a... Yeah, I don't know the rules.
It's crazy too. It was like a background shot that was not in focus. It was just kind of
somebody write Cody an email explaining what are the rules.
What are the rules?
What are the rules? All right.
Hey. What are the rules? Gotta love that episode.
Yes.
That was an Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference, Keanu.
I haven't seen that in a long fucking time.
It's an episode where the gang, I think it's called The Gang Goes Black?
Turns Black.
Turns Black, okay.
Well.
Yeah.
Can you guess the plot?
They're trying to figure out what the rules are for the body swapping and how to go back.
Charlie was my favorite.
Charlie's phenomenal.
Charlie, I think he's like overwhelmingly a fan favorite. Like, it's just he's so lovably stupid.
Yeah, they made him illiterate in season two.
I'm reflecting on that Charlie comment earlier now. God damn it.
Yeah, you're the Charlie of the group, you know, whatever. But no, it's funny because, like, if you look at the show Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like, Charlie didn't become illiterate until season two. He could read before that. But they're like, yeah, fuck it, whatever, why not? Mm. And then they just kind of made him, like, more dumb and weird as they went along.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, according to their podcast, Danny DeVito was like, yeah, whatever, let's keep going. What kind of stuff do you guys have for me? Like, let's make it weird.
Speaking of dumb and weird, going back to the subject there, just to briefly mention it on air again, there was a remake in the 90s, but there was a much better zombie franchise going on in that time, which we'll get to at another episode.
Will we?
I want to talk about Return of the Living Dead for the 90s, man. I'm telling
you. Well, we can talk about it on the second thing.
I'm thinking 30 years into the future from now, man. You see, we're trapped in this cabin, or this house, rather. You know,
yeah. All we can do is podcast.
Specifically.
Exactly.
I tried to work the radio earlier, but the only thing it brought in was the Eagle and Wolf podcast, so I destroyed the radio.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, CJ, not even a little bit there. I was trying to goad him.
No, I just don't want to risk going off topic again. Staying quiet.
No, you're right. So we're in this farmhouse, obviously. We have nothing to do but record. Food-wise, I guess we can just keep, harvesting flowers and whatnot, just eat that. And then for water, we can drink our own piss, right? Is that a survival guide?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Are there survival guides nowadays in the 60s?
Yeah, it's true. We are.
Are there? I don't know.
You're right, we're not podcasting.
If we're hungry, we could eat.
Probably a well.
If we're hungry, we could eat. Farmhouse. We could eat that kid in the basement, Key probably can't.
No, I can't.
Oh, she doesn't do meat, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Keanu, go eat a fucking tree. I don't know.
The kid had a... It's a farm. I'm sure there's some corn somewhere.
Don't give her ideas.
There's some corn somewhere. There may be some flour and some eggs. I can make noodles. You know?
Oh, you can make everyone noodles. Cool.
I can. I have some old-fashioned homemaker skills. Don't tell anybody.
I'll board up the windows.
I'll make the noodles.
Good. I'm going to go down to the cellar and totally not board up the door.
So,
okay, Cooper.
I did want to go ahead and get this stated. Sorry. Give me a moment.
No, you're good.
Had to cough. I'm going to cut that.
No, we're not getting any of this.
Okay.
I can hear it on mic. It's fine.
I did want to state, just for the record, about Night of Living Dead is it did not age the best, because it is very much comparable to those horror movies of the time. It's very much like if you watch The Birds, like it's so like similar with especially how they portray females in cinema at the time. Very flattering, but I will say, and neither are the themes of the classism or even the added themes later on of racism and whatnot. Not only are those like not very new, obviously they could date back to Shakespearean plays. For the time in cinema, kind of it went a very strict direction by a strict set of rules and a very wholesome view of everything. Night of the Living Dead offered something different, not just like in this era where like there are great horror movies, don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, classic horror movies, do not get me wrong. Like Nosferatu, Frankenstein.
But as alluded to earlier, this is the first zombie film, which really set like a whole different genre.
Right. I was about to round to that, but you interrupted me. So this is the first zombie film. it was a whole thing I was doing. It was a whole thing. But yeah, you did the thing.
Again, we're not cutting any of this.
That is the significance of Night of the Living Dead for me, a big George Romero fan. I'm sure those themes aren't terribly lost if you go back and watch it now not knowing those things, but I guess I don't know if Keanu was explained at least the importance of that component. Like, look, it's an old movie.
You're also talking about, I think he was like 25, like mid-20s when he wrote this, in the 60s.
Nice. Yes.
And so it was a lot for the indie department, too, because he wasn't a part of that main Hollywood cloth at the time.
Didn't he shoot a lot of commercials in Pittsburgh, and that was like how he got a lot of the base capital fund for this, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, yeah, but he's not a bit, he wasn't in that circle of film producers quite yet.
No. I know, I'm just saying, like, he literally, like, started his own company, shot commercials, and raised the money to make his own film.
Yep, that's him. It was all him. And
he is the godfather of arguably independent film, as far as I'm concerned.
He changed film, and he changed film forever.
He absolutely changed the horror genre as well. We would not have a zombie that has been done to death, but I still love dearly because, like, it's a terrifying concept if done properly.
Yes. Now, for the time, I'm sure it scared the shit out of people.
I mean, it's still pretty effective. Like, even the black and white grading, the slightly torn clothes, just, like, the facial expressions of a lot of the people, and the breaking down the house, and, like, using rocks to bust open windows.
Yeah,
that's
like,
terrifying concept.
Yeah, because, like, when I was watching it, I was like, I thought zombies were, like, shambly and just, like, bump into things. Like, the thought process of picking up a rock to fucking break through a window.
Yay.
Like,
spoiler alert for Land of the Dead, Keanu. One of them uses a gun.
Oh, man, that's a spoiler alert. Like, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Because, like, that'll be relevant again in two episodes.
Ah, well.
It's okay. At least now you know to look for at least the buildup to that moment.
Right.
Also, we should talk about how to do the next episode. CJ, I believe it is Dawn of the Dead, but the original, right?
The original, yes. We'll briefly touch on the remake if you want
that
to while doing
to
it.
Find if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
I
on modern streaming services, maybe.
For the sake of this podcast,
you probably go check it out at your local library.
We all own VHS and DVD copies of the original Day of the Dead for legal purposes of this podcast. Yeah. Do you guys have any more finishing thoughts on Night of the Living Dead before we close it up here, barricade the cellar, and hide out with our preservatives until the National Guard comes and possibly shoots us?
This is kind of random, but when I watched this yesterday, in the beginning scenes, she talked about the time change. And the time change literally happened yesterday. I was like, what the fuck?
We were supposed to record tomorrow, and I remember mentioning that to Taylor. I'm like, it would have been so perfect.
Like, I was pretty fucking shocked about that. Also, when, like, the news reporter was talking to the police officer, he's like, you think you can clear this up in 24 hours?
Cut to several sequels later.
Yeah, like, it just made me giggle. I was like, oh, okay, flesh-eating zombies, 24 hours. Yeah, we got it,
We got about a dozen of them so far, so we should be on a good track to get rid of them in, like, 2 days.
We had it, you know? Can't be more than a dozen. Baker's dozen.
Baker's dozen. I love that. He would have. He definitely would have said Baker's dozen.
He definitely would have said Baker's dozen. And for some reason, the sound of his voice made me think of you, CJ. Like the main guy.
How flattering.
I'm sorry. It just did for some reason. I don't know why. I was like, this makes me think of CJ a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's all somebody can hope. You know, the impression they leave on people at the end of the day.
Yeah, kind of like when I was seeing the relationship between Barbara and Jonathan. I was like, yeah, it's kind of like I imagine Keanu being the Jonathan in that situation to whoever, one of her fucking 9, 10, 11 siblings. 32? What are you up to 45 now?
I got 5. I got 5.
Baker's siblings. Dozen.
Baker's dozen. Baker's half dozen.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this feels like a very, like, kind of Keanu-ish thing to do to fuck with one of her younger siblings for a bit.
Except I don't. I don't fuck around with scary shit and fucked up shit. Like, but I do, I have absolutely picked on them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what you do as a sibling.
Yeah.
I was the younger one.
I also think it's a Midwest way of showing love, because I feel like I pick on people that I love and care about. Like, I tend to poke good, harmless fun at you at your expense. We all do this. Every one
that
of
is
us
true.
Do.
Yeah. Most of our podcast is that.
But I've noticed, like, going to other states and being around other people, like, they don't pick up on it. Like, they'll be like, well, you know, I just, and I'm like, no. Like, I'm just fucking with you. Like, I'm just playing with you. And, like, they don't, it doesn't really click with them. Like, I've noticed that, you know, I've spent a lot of time on the West Coast, and now I've spent a lot of time on the East Coast, and, like, same situation both fucking times. Like, I just, after however long my partner and I have been seeing each other, like, I just got him to start poking fun at me. Like, just got him to start poking fun at me.
Let's have a humbling roast session back and forth.
I'm like, babe, won't you make fun of me too? And he was like, I don't really. And then eventually he came around. I was like, that's much better. I like that. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a good time to announce that for the third anniversary of this podcast in June, it will be the roast of, I guess, me. Fuck it, why not?
The roast of you?
You guys just roast the shit out of me. It should be very easy to do.
Just a normal episode, then?
Yeah,
pretty much,
what
yeah.
We regularly do.
It's just where I sit down and let you guys roast me and I don't reply back.
Well, as an early preview, I'll go ahead and say you look like the type of guy that would fuck someone with a half-flaccid penis.
So. I actually had a conversation about half-flaccid penis sex.
It's not very fulfilling, in my opinion.
No,
but
it's not.
I will say, though, my half-flaccid penis, CJ, probably does more work than your completely erect one, so it's at least something.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would yield to that statement.
It's like comparing a cooked little smoky sausage to, like, a raw, uncooked hot dog. Like, it may not be as fulfilling or stiff, but it's still, you know,
it's sad
more.
You went for hot dog than, like, a kielbasa. That would have been
funnier.
Go kielbasa next time.
As,
it's funnier.
As a note, I was trying to complete with your little bit about me not having, like, nothing impressive, but then you having a smaller one. I don't know. Whatever. The bit's done. It's course.
It's done. It's okay, right. Though. It was a valiant effort. I give you 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good try, Cody.
Yeah. I don't know, round guys. You know, I'm not an improv guy.
It's okay.
You're not? I could have fooled me.
This podcast is me trying to be an improv guy, which is why we're still recording.
I think you do pretty well.
Huh. Well, thank you, sir.
That's right.
Well, thank you.
For a bitch. And now we're back to the roast.
All right. Anyways, do you guys have anything to plug? Anything to talk about?
I got... You can find me at the TikTok and the Instagram at Abundant Studio.
And of course, we can follow the podcast on Twitter at Robots Don't Age.
And I guess you could just, I have nothing to add, but I'll just be doing something secret that we'll have to talk about later on. Like way.
And if
later
you look
on.
Outside in your bushes, you might see CJ.
You might see me, yeah. I think I'm still there. You can see my droppings for sure.
30% chance you'll see CJ outside of your window.
Fuck.
For sure.
Usually when I look out of my balcony, I see CJ's forehead just looking inside about 30% of the time.
We'll have a pack of bottle rockets and cold hot dogs. Don't ask.
Some Marlboros.
If anyone sees a pendant size urn, that is my foreskin ashes, so please return it. You don't carry your... Oh, nice. Wait.
All right. You guys good?
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.